The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. Continued. Disc 5. Seven. The Man on Putney Hill. I spent that night in the inn that stands at the top of Putney Hill, sleeping in a made bed for the first time since my flight to Leatherhead. I will not tell the needless trouble I had breaking into that house. Afterward, I found the front door was on the latch, nor how I ransacked every room for food, until just on the verge of despair, in what seemed to me to be a servant's bedroom, I found a rat-gnawed crust and two tins of pineapple. The place had been already searched and emptied. In the bar, I afterward found some biscuits and sandwiches that had been overlooked. The latter I could not eat, they were too rotten, but the former not only stayed my hunger, but filled my pockets. I lit no lamps, fearing some Martian might come beating that part of London for food in the night. Before I went to bed, I had an interval of restlessness and prowled from window to window, peering out for some sign of these monsters. I slept little. As I lay in bed, I found myself thinking consecutively, a thing I do not remember to have done since my last argument with the curate. During all the intervening time, my mental condition had been a hurrying succession of vague emotional states, or a sort of stupid receptivity. But in the night, my brain, reinforced, I suppose, by the food I had eaten, grew clear again, and I thought. Three things struggled for possession of my mind: the killing of the curate, the whereabouts of the Martians, and the possible fate of my wife. The former gave me no sensation of horror or remorse to recall. I saw it simply as a thing done, a memory infinitely disagreeable, but quite without the quality of remorse. I saw myself then as I see myself now, driven step by step toward that hasty blow, the creature of a sequence of accidents leading inevitably to that. I felt no condemnation, yet the memory, static, unprogressive, haunted me. In the silence of the night, with that sense of nearness of God that sometimes comes into the stillness and the darkness, I stood my trial, my only trial, for that moment of wrath and fear. I retraced every step of our conversation, from the moment when I'd found him crouching beside me, heedless of my thirst, and pointing to the fire and smoke that streamed up from the ruins of Weybridge. We had been incapable of cooperation. Grim chance had taken no heed of that. Had I foreseen, I should have left him at Halliford, but I did not foresee, and crime is to foresee and do. And I set this down as I've set all this story down, as it was. There were no witnesses. All these things I might have concealed, but I set it down, and the reader must form his judgment as he will.